Amen, amen, amen. I'm so glad that I serve a good God. Amen, praise God. And not only is he good, he's faithful.
Yes.
Faithful, faithful, faithful. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter number 4. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, while you're finalizing turning there, I do have prayer chain China sign-up sheets, and so I will put them on both sides. Each one is 2 pages long. So when you look at it, the first page takes you through 3 p.m. The second page takes you through 12 a.m. And so you may have to fill out spots on both sides. Now, at the beginning of that, in that first column, it's going to say I or F. That just simply means, you know, you want to pray individually or you want to pray as a family. So if you put an F in there, I'll know that it's family. Some of you, I think it's, I won't say obvious, but I just need you to tell me if you want to do individual or not. So, and then also there on the second page, there is a spot for comments. And so in that comments, you can say one shift only, or you can say morning and evening. Let me know that you'd be available for 2. Praise God. So looking forward to that this coming Friday. Praise God. Reading this week, and something arrested my attention. I really thought that I would be teaching this probably this Wednesday night, and but I feel the need to do so, and then also my voice is not what it really should be or could be for tonight, and so we'll just kind of slow down a little bit. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we will begin reading at verse number 7. Peter, writing, says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And use hospitality one to another without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Amen. I guess knowing that my pastor preaches a message concerning the manifold grace of God has caused me to focus upon those words. But in reading this week, there was something that grabbed my attention, and it's called the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Praise God. And so that's what I want to talk about here tonight, is the good stewards of his manifold grace. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Can you just thank the Lord today for his word? Thank you, Jesus.
I love you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. God, we want you to have your way with us today, Lord. Speak and minister in this sanctuary, God. Lord, do what you want with us, Jesus, as you help us through your word tonight, Lord. Talk to us, Jesus. Strengthen and encourage in this place, Jesus. Whatever you would with us, Lord, give us revelation and understanding. Anoint your minister and use him tonight, Lord. I pray, God, touch his throat.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. While Peter undoubtedly has scattered Jewish believers in his mind, for he is the minister, the apostle unto the Jews, his epistles comprehend the Gentile believers also, just simply because this is where he is writing from. In 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 13, he says that the church that is in Babylon salutes you. And so it is from that Gentile church there upon Gentile ground that Peter presents all the foundational truths of the Christian faith. And he is writing to the Gentiles, and that he told us that in the second chapter there, verse number 10, he said, which in times past were not a people. I believe that that is probably twofold, in that he is speaking to believers that were unbelievers, but then also Gentiles that were not accepted into the fold, into the family of God. Amen. Now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtained, have obtained mercy. Praise God. Now, he writes here, and there is so much that we could delve into. Typically, in a year, I try to read my Bible through, not necessarily as fast as I can, but I am as diligent as I possibly can in reading my Bible to get through it, because I know my temptations, and that is to get hung on rabbit trails somewhere and go to studying those and reading off on those, and then I don't get the Bible read through by the end of the year. And so I try to do that as diligently, given all diligence unto that, to read it. And then the rest of the year, I go back and I begin to just read different things that have caught my attention here and there, bring them out. And so there is a number of things in this epistle, first of all, that we could talk about. But in these verses here today, I want to just go ahead and bring out, he stated, that above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. So he's teaching us to have love among ourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. We know that we are not able necessarily to redeem mankind for their sins, but the word that is given here to us today to learn from is that when we love one another, it's not necessarily that we look past each other's faults as much as we don't hold their shortcomings or their faults against them, such as every one of us, you know, the faults, the weaknesses, the shortcomings of family members, of spouses, of children, of parents, and maybe closer friends and such. But if you were to hold them, and I'm not saying this, you understand here, about we're going to talk about grace. We're going to talk about grace. Amen. But without grace, you're going to hold them accountable, and you're going to be less a few friends and maybe even a few less relationships here and there. Because we're talking about the grace of God. And just the simpleton's definition of grace is the unmerited favor of God given unto us. Praise the Lord. And so that we are to love one another. And that love is going to look past some things. Love does not approve sin. It does not give the okay for sin, but it helps to get past it. Amen. And so he goes on to say that as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Now, it is necessary to point out that Peter here is writing unto the Gentile believers. Amen. What he is writing is good for the Jewish believers, but it's for the Gentile believers, or can I just simply say it is for the church members. He is not Paul writing unto Titus, a young minister in the gospel. He is not Paul writing unto Timothy, a preacher and a pastor of the gospel. But he is writing to members of the church. Everybody say me. Amen. Praise God. Peter is writing unto such a one as you. And he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That word steward comes from the Greek word oikonomos, and it means a manager or an overseer. Praise God. A manager or an overseer. That's what each and every one of us are over the manifold grace of God. Amen. I got 4 pages of notes, and I could get through all of them in about 10 minutes, but this is where I'm coming back to. Amen. The manifold, that we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are a steward of the manifold grace of God. Praise God. Now, I think that it is interesting to understand that the grace of God has really, in great reality, has been committed to our hands to deliver, to basically to manifest, to show forth the grace of God. We are ambassadors of Christ. And this part, this gift of grace, this thing called grace is given unto us to show forth others. And that being the overseer of it, being the manager of it, we are the manager, the overseer of the manifold grace of God. This word manifold just simply means many colors, variegated, various in character, diverse. One writer said it's used to describe the skin of a leopard. It is used to describe the different veining in marbles. Amen. Manifold would be the embroidered robe, the changing months and their weather conditions, or the variation of a different strain of music. That's what manifold is. It incorporates the entire picture, not just, amen, zoning in on one little hue, amen, but it is the variety of colors. It is the temperatures and the seasons of all of the months. It is the spots and the solid color of the leopard, and it is the veining that is in the marble as it goes through and changes into varying colors. And grace, we know, to be the unmerited love and the favor of God towards human to make them pure and to make them morally strong. And we could talk about the difference between mercy and grace. And it's just simply this. Mercy is, I do not get what I do deserve. That's mercy. I do not get what I do deserve. And grace is, I get what I don't deserve. None of us deserve to go to heaven, but because of the grace of God, we are. And if we got what we deserved, we'd all go to hell. But mercy is, I don't get what I do deserve. Mercy keeps us from hell. Grace puts us in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. And so the word grace simply has a connotation to mean to stoop in kindness to an inferior and to bestow and to show favor upon them, pity upon them. And it is the divine influence upon the heart. God's grace is made up of wonderful attributes of God, such as mercy, love, kindness, patience, and long-suffering. This is a beautiful, beautiful tapestry. Praise God. I said God's grace is made up of all of the wonderful attributes of God, such as His mercy, His love, His kindness, His patience, His faithfulness, His long-suffering, all of that. It's not one-dimensional. It's not one color. Amen. It brings beauty to the entire picture. Praise God. Now, there are many different types of grace, and this is where we get the manifold grace, because it's not just a picture painted red. His grace is the varying colors of all things, and Paul wrote about grace, and Peter wrote about grace. Paul wrote abundantly about grace of God touching many areas of his life. He talked about the riches of grace. And I'm just going to read through a lot of this. My voice is not going to last. And I want to get to where I feel led to go. And so Paul wrote about the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor, so that through his poverty you might be rich. Amen. And that is through his grace. So we talked about the riches of God. He talked about the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20 and 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry that I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. We could talk about the dispensation of the grace of God. Romans 6, 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we say? Shall we sin? Because that we are not under the law, but under grace, God forbid. Ephesians 3 and 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of grace, which is given me to you, word. And so there are these graces. There is a saving grace. Ephesians chapter number 2 and 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so we know that grace comes to save us. And after that we are saved by grace, then we are admonished to keep several factors in mind, such as that we can fail of the grace of God. We can fall from his grace. Amen. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many shall be defiled. We do not believe in once saved, always saved. We do not believe in eternal security. We believe that the only way of called eternal security is to be in the church. Amen. The church is going to make it. You got to stay in the church. Praise God. I don't want to fall from his grace that is there. Amen. For me. Praise the Lord. Amen. We know that we should grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. We know that we are to be strong in grace. Acts 13, 43. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. We also know that we are to receive grace through humility. First Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. We become and achieve by his grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. We know that our speech is to be seasoned with grace. Colossians 4:5-6. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye might answer every man. Praise God. Praise God. I got to get in slowing down, or I'm going to get cranking up, and I'm really going to mess my voice up. Praise God. But grace, no matter how you do it, grace is a beautiful, beautiful topic to talk about. Because that his grace is manifold. Amen. Whatever you need, there is grace enough sufficient for you. Long suffering is a form of grace. Amen. Faithfulness is a form of grace. It is because of these things that you should not receive, but God's unmerited favor upon you allows you to be partakers of this. You weren't worthy to be saved, but God saved you. Amen. You weren't worthy, amen, to be washed, but God redeemed you. Amen. You weren't worthy of a clean record, but God justified you. You weren't worthy of a lot of things, but because of God's grace, you are today what you are by the grace of God. You are a recipient of his faithfulness, a recipient of his long suffering, a recipient of his mercy, a recipient of his kindness, a recipient of his patience, a recipient of his love. You are a recipient of the grace of God, and you are to be a good steward of the grace, the manifold grace of God. Praise God. We are to listen to grace. For grace is going to teach us. Praise God. The Bible said that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. And it teaches us to deny ungodliness. Grace says you can't live the way that you want to live. Grace says, no. You need to deny worldly lust. Somebody said, well, the preacher said that I need to be, deny ungodliness and I need to deny worldly lust. Let me just tell you something. The only reason that the preacher said so was because it was God's grace, and God said, it's not your grace, it's my grace, and you're going to be a good steward of my grace, and you're going to do this because I'm the one that died, not you. It's God's grace. Praise God. And the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness. You cannot go live however that you want to live. You can't just be involved in all kinds of worldly lust and such. Grace teaches against that. Grace teaches us that we ought to live soberly. We ought to live righteously. And we ought to live godly in this present world. This world. What a crying shame it is. And I know I'm not off topic, but I'm letting something affect me. I'm letting something bother me. But what a crying shame it is for Christians to be lewd in their comments and in their Facebook post and such that alludes to perversion, that alludes to all kinds of indecency and corruption and vulgarness and such like that. That's not what grace teaches us. Amen. Praise God. I don't really know of any problems here, but some preaching is just preventative. Amen. If you can't keep your comments right on Facebook, stay off. If you can't keep your comments right in social media, stay away. Praise God. We need to learn to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Praise God, that we might be able to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Praise God. There is abounding grace. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, I'm talking about the grace of God, the manifold grace of God, where sin abounded. If you're bound by perversion, there's grace that can help you. If you're bound by addiction, there's grace that can help you. If you're bound by worldliness, there's grace that can help you. If you're bound by hatred, there's grace that can help you. If you're bound by bitterness, there's grace that can help you. Whatever you're going through, there is enough grace to overcome the situations that you are in. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12. Paul said it like this. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I'm just telling you right now, Paul didn't deserve it. But none of us deserved it either. But grace was extended to him. He got what he didn't deserve. He said, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy. I didn't get what I did deserve because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I got what I did not deserve. And this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There is hope through grace. Is anybody getting the picture here today? I'm talking about the manifold grace. I'm talking about that when sin came in and seemed to overwhelm and to put you under for the last time, grace came by and pulled you out. I'm talking about abounding grace. I'm talking about strengthening grace. I'm talking about hope through grace. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen is, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what doth a man, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And so there is hope that is that grace is involved in. I'm just telling you today, this moves me. This moves me. I got to continue on, or amen, so that I can get where we're going. There's justification by grace. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We understand what justification is. Justification, amen, is the process that where you have a long, long record. And the judge doesn't just, amen, release you and then take that record and file it away. But the righteous judge comes in and wipes it all away, that when hell starts going through the files trying to find it, it's blank. It's just as if you never did it. That's justification. And Paul said, amen, that being justified by his grace through redemption. There is sufficient grace. Immediate deliverance does not always come to the saints in distress, problems, and afflictions. But God always makes available a sufficient portion of his grace to carry us through them. Such as Paul saying that there was a thorn that was given to me in my flesh, and I prayed 3 times for it to be removed. But the answer that I got back was, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So whatever it is in life that you are going through, there is enough grace to get you through that. I could speak to several of you here today, amen, the problems, the situations, the health that you have or the health that you do not have, the afflictions that you have and that we have prayed for and we have asked God to heal you. We're not saying that God's not going to heal you, and we're not stepping back in unbelief, amen, believing, amen, that this is just the will of God. For until God either heals you or the rapture comes, we're going to continue to pray the prayer of faith. But until then, some of you have gotten haunts in your mind of things that just will not go away, and you just cannot seem to get past them. They don't dissolve. They don't vanish away overnight. Amen. Scars that have been there that are not going to dissolve. They're not going to disappear. I'm here to tell you tonight, there is sufficient grace that is going to be able to keep you. You may not get through this life unscarred. You may not come through this life unmarred, but one of these days, amen, corruptible is going to put off corruption, amen, and the mortal man is going to put off mortality, and it's going to take on immortality, and imperfection is going to take on perfection, and we're going to be changed into the righteousness of God. But until then, his grace is sufficient. It's sufficient, it's sufficient, it's sufficient. Praise God. And then finally, there is grace to help. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Praise God. And so sometimes you come before the throne of God and you need grace to help. And that grace that shows up is sufficient grace. And you find hope in grace, because it had an attribute of abounding grace. And it taught you how to be and who to be, because that's not who you was. But teaching grace came into your life, because saving grace showed up on your doorstep. And saving grace has grown into the grace of God. And now you are strong in grace, continuing in grace. Because of humility, you continue to receive grace. And you are today who you are because of grace. That is who you are. That is who I am. And we are to be the good stewards. Of this manifold grace of God. It's almost overwhelming that God has allowed me to be a benefactor, a beneficiary of all of this grace. I didn't deserve this grace. I was born in a Pentecostal home and raised in the church, but I didn't grow up being a Christian. I was a pretty good heathen. I got a lot of things in my life that I'm not very proud of. But God's grace has been sufficient. And God's grace, I have received of it. And I'm not who I was because of the grace of God. I am today who I am because of that grace. And I have grown in grace. And I'm stronger in grace. And I receive grace through humility because of the saving grace of God. And God says it like this. Now I have just spoken not only my testimony, but I have spoken your testimony. You were not the story in the picture of perfection. But God didn't come in with a red crayon and just color you just a red picture. And red is a symbol of blood, and I'm thankful for the blood. Amen. Can I just say, though, that the background is all red with the blood of Jesus Christ. But there is the color of white in there, and the color of orange, and the color of all of these other colors because of the manifold grace of God. When you needed long-suffering, grace came into your life. When you needed patience, grace came into your life. When you needed kindness, grace came into your life. When you needed love, grace came into your life. And God says, you are a steward of all of this grace. You're a steward. You are an overseer of all of this grace. And you are supposed to be a good steward of all of this grace. I'm watching over this grace. I am a manager, an overseer, a good manager, a good overseer, a good steward of this grace. The Lord came down to his workers one time, and he told them, he said, I'm going to give you 5 talents, and I'm going to give you 3 talents, and I'm going to give you 1 talent. And he said, I'm going on a trip. And you are an overseer, a manager, a steward of what I have given unto you. And he went on a far journey. And the one that had 5 talents, he said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to double this. I'm going to make it more than what it is.
And the one that had 3 talents said, I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to make it more than what it is. I'm an overseer of 3. And the one that had 1 talent said, I'm just going to watch over it. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just going to hide it. I'm going to bury it off somewhere, and I'm just going to guard it. And that's all that I'm going to do. And when the boss man came back, he said, I gave you 5. What do you have? He said, I've poured it out. I've poured it out. I've worked diligently, and now I've got 10. And he went to the one with 3, and he said, what do you have? And he said, you gave it to me to be an overseer of it, and I used it. I invested it into this one and invested it into that. And you gave me 3. Now I got 6. And he went to the one, and he said, and what do you have? And he said, well, wait a second. I know that you are a hard man. And I know that you require diligence on all of that. And I was afraid to lose something. And so I packed it away and I hid it. And I've just been guarding it. That's not the way that God wants us to be with His grace. But He's saying, I've given unto you manifold grace. Manifold grace. I've given you long suffering. I expect you to be long suffering. I expect you to show the grace of God unto this world. They don't need to come and to look and to say, oh, my Lord is a hard man. But they need to say, if you need long suffering, I've got long suffering for you, because I've got a God that is a gracious God, and in Him is long suffering. And if you find somebody that needs teaching, I've got grace that teaches you how to live. And let me show you some of that grace. If you need mercy, I've got a God that is full of mercy and that encompasses His grace. And let me extend unto you some of the grace that God hath given unto me. Let's stand here tonight. This is what the grace of God is all about. The grace that God hath given unto you is not for you to push it back and to hide it and to dig a hole and bury it. Hallelujah. And then to stand over it and show forth a hard God. Well, if you want mercy, you're going to have to go somewhere else. Nobody came my way and gave me long suffering. If you want forgiveness, then you ought to do something to deserve it. Peter said that we are to be the good steward of the manifold grace of God. You weren't anybody when God found you.
Right.
And I know that there are different stories that are out there here tonight that are represented. Maybe somebody invited you to the house of God. Maybe friend or family invited you to the house of God. Maybe it was a worker, a boss. Somebody that invited you, a neighbor that invited you to the house of God. Some of you may have just been drawn by God. I don't know. I don't know how you came. But I do believe in all of that. I was born into the house of God. My mom said that the first Wednesday of my life, I was in the house of God. Some of you, I know that you were invited into the house of God. But I believe that there are people that are out there that are just saying, God, where? one of two things is going to happen. You and them are going to cross paths, and God's going to use you to invite them, or God's going to lead them and draw them. They're going to see one of our social media ads. I was in the Chinese restaurant there the other day down on Walnut. Walking out, there's our church card posted right there on the billboard, on the bulletin board. I don't know who did it, but thank you. And maybe somebody walking by would just be caught by that blue and just take it and come. Today, while walking into the restaurant, a lady approached our family, began to ask questions about where we came from, why we're dressed so nicely, whatever. Was able to give her a church card. You see, you don't put God in a box. God's Spirit moves where it wants to move. It hovers and it draws whoever. God will use a man, and typically he does, but don't count him out. And sometimes it's just a backslider that's been away from God, and they're hurt. Like the prodigal son, they finally come to their senses, and there's the grace of God hovering, ready to draw. And they come knocking on your door, ringing your phone, texting your device. You're a good steward of the manifold grace of God. You're not that one that says, oh no, I know what you did. Oh no, I know who you are.
Hallelujah.
No, we are to be good stewards.
Hallelujah.
Of the manifold grace,
yes,
of God. It's His grace, not my grace. It was His blood, not my blood. I'm just a manager. I'm just an overseer. I'm just a steward of the redemption that He purchased. And so when someone comes, they begin to say, I need God. I've got many colors of grace.
Hallelujah.
I got salvation. I can't save them, but it's not my salvation grace, it's His. They need mercy. I can extend mercy. That's not up to me. That's up to Him. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And God knows how to do it. The young man that was here today, we've known him now for, I guess, over 6 years, somewhere around 6 years. He used to be in the church. I taught him in school. My wife taught him in school. Life happened, and he backslid. Walked out. The story progresses. This year, Marcus was in Orlando looking to come home. His flight was delayed, and so flights are rearranged. He gets on the plane in Orlando and flies to Chicago. Moving quickly to get onto another plane. He's walking down the aisle
of that plane, looking at numbers, trying to find his seat. And here's a voice call out to him, Marcus. And he turns and he looks, and there sits Marquand. Some 5 years since seeing him. On the same plane in Chicago. Marquand's flying from Washington, D.C. And they meet in Chicago. And Marcus says, hey, I'm just looking for my plane seat. And he looks at his ticket and he says, it's actually the same seat right beside you. And so for the next hour and a half to 2 hours, however long the flight is, they get to talk about how that this is not a coincidence. It's the grace of God. Grace of God says, don't count out those that I haven't counted out. You don't get to make that decision. You don't get to decide, oh, they're not worthy of the grace of God. It's not your grace, it's my grace. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. They've kept in contact. Marcus called him not too long ago and said, hey, he said, I don't know if you're in town or not, but if you are, young people are going over to this place. We'd love to have you. He said, I am in town. He said, I'll try to make it. And he didn't. He didn't make it. Later, he called Marcus and he said, hey, he said, I'm on my way. Marcus said, well, we've already left. He said, I'm actually at the restaurant. But if you'd like to come over here, I'd like to see you. He said, okay, we'll come. And so he drove up to the restaurant. And he's getting out of his car, and Marcus is walking out there to talk to him. Marquand walks up and he says, hey, my buddy in the car says that he knows you. Well, this is kind of weird because we've only lived here for 2 years. He said, really? He said, well, who is it? He said, it's Mardell. Mark said, oh, okay, yeah, I know Mardell. How does he know Mardell? Playing basketball at the Y. Playing basketball at the Y. He met Mardell and talked to Mardell. So Mardell gets out of the car and they talk. He says, Mardell, you need to come to church. Marquand, you need to come to church. They both said they're going to come. And Mardell says, I used to go to that church. Do what? Yeah, I know Gavin and Garrett. The grace of God. The grace of God may have to go through a lot of rubbish. A lot of trash, a lot of garbage. But the grace of God digs down into the furthest parts of sin. And said, I've got saving grace. Mardell would say, I'm kind of embarrassed of you seeing me the way that I am, doing what he was doing. Grace of God said, I don't care about all of that. What I care about is that soul that's right there. And God says, you are to be a good steward of the grace, the manifold, many colors of grace. You're to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. I'm just telling you, church, that what you've seen happen this morning is the beginning. And I'm speaking prophetically.
Yes.
But what you've seen in this church this morning is the beginning of great and mighty things. As God digs through the refuse, searching for those that his name is applied to.
Thank you, Jesus.
and in the process finding other sinners that are there.
Yes, Lord.
In God's grace, drawing. Drawing. Man of God a couple of months ago called me and he said, Brother Cowan, he said, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials that you've went through. God put you there so that you could understand. God was showing me grace. God was teaching me colors of grace. He said, because there's going to be people that are going to come through those doors. He said, give them time. But they're going to come through those doors and you're going to be able to understand the grace that they need. And we are to be good stewards. I think this church is a perfect place for the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen. I just simply want to know tonight, are you willing to step up? Are you willing to say, God, I'll be that servant that'll look to invest, that'll look to pour out, that'll look to work. I'm going to be a good steward. I'm not just going to do it half-heartedly. I'm not just going to do it flippantly. I'm going to be a good steward of the manifold grace that you have shown me. And when the sinner walks in the door, I'm not going to step back and judge them. But I'm going to say, that individual needs grace. And I've got the perfect key for it. And when the backslider walks in the door, it's not going to be looking over your shoulder saying, But it's going to be, I know what they need. And I'm a good steward of the grace of God. Let me show you salvific grace. Let me show you grace of hope. Let me show you grace of long suffering. Let me show you grace of patience. Let me show you grace of love. The colors. The colors. The colors of the manifold grace of God. I know that the pride movement of this world has basically blasphemed the colors of God. And they take the rainbow that is out there and they use it for their pride and such like. That's the grace of God. That's not the symbol of homosexuality and the symbol. Amen. They have taken the things and the signs and the symbols of God and they have messed them up. And now the Christian doesn't want to paint a rainbow. Because the rainbow in this world means something else. No, friend, the rainbow belongs to God. It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to sin. It doesn't belong to the pride movement of this world. It belongs to God. And I could have the red of the blood. And I could have the blue of royalty. Amen. I could have the purple of divinity. I could have all of these things that is there. Amen. But I've got the manifold grace of God. Thank God for His grace. Why don't you just make yourself available here tonight?